Welcome back to Bite-Sized Breakthroughs, the podcast where we dissect the latest and most impactful research in computer science. I'm your host, Alex Askwell, and today we're diving deep into a seminal paper, Trust Region Policy Optimization, authored by Shulman, Levine, Moritz, Jordan, and Abiel. With me today are two experts, Dr. Paige Turner, a lead researcher in reinforcement learning, and Prof. 4 Wed Spectrum, an authority on the broader implications of AI research. Welcome, both.
Thanks for having me, Alex. Pleasure to be here.
So, Paige, let's start with some context. What was the landscape of policy optimization in reinforcement learning before this paper, and what were the key challenges?
Certainly, Alex. Before TRPO, the field was largely dominated by three main approaches. First, there were policy iteration methods, which work by alternating between evaluating the current policy and then improving it based on that evaluation. Then there were policy gradient methods that focused on directly estimating the gradient of the expected return, the total cumulative reward, and then updating the policy in that direction. Finally, we had derivative-free optimization methods, like the cross-entropy method, CEM, and covariance matrix adaptation, CMA, which treat the whole process as a kind of black box optimization of the policy parameters. While these derivative-free methods could work well for simple problems, like playing Tetris, they lacked strong sample complexity guarantees and generally don't scale to high-dimensional problems. Existing gradient-based methods and approximate dynamic programming, ADP, often struggled to consistently beat even basic random search, especially with complex, high-dimensional policies like neural networks. This is what motivated the need for a more robust and scalable approach. Prof. Spectrum, how did this situation impact the broader field of AI at the time? Well, the inconsistent performance of these policy optimization methods was a real bottleneck. We had these very powerful function approximators, like neural networks, and the theory of gradient-based optimization for supervised learning, but we were struggling to use them effectively in reinforcement learning. This limited our ability to tackle complex real-world problems where you don't have nicely labeled data and have to learn through trial and error. It meant a lot of the smart agents we were building often failed to get much smarter at all.
So TRPO was developed in response to this limitation. Paige, can you highlight the core contribution of the paper and what it innovated compared to previous approaches?
Absolutely. The core contribution of TRPO is that it provides a practical and theoretically grounded algorithm for policy optimization, which guarantees monotonic improvement. Monotonic improvement means that at each iteration, the policy is guaranteed to either improve its performance or at least stay the same. This is achieved through a novel combination of theoretical underpinnings and practical approximations. The key innovations are several-fold. First, we extended the theoretical policy improvement bounds, which were previously defined for so-called mixture policies, to general stochastic policies, making the algorithm broadly applicable. We did this using a coupling argument. Second, we moved from using a fixed penalty coefficient when updating the policy, as in methods like natural policy gradient, to using a trust region constraint based on the KL divergence. This constraint provides a more robust mechanism for controlling the update size. Finally, to implement this in practice, we introduced a number of techniques for estimating the gradient, including the usage of an analytic Fisher information matrix, M, to implement this algorithm. And we demonstrated this algorithm on both simulated robotic tasks and Atari games, and showed the algorithm's flexibility.
That sounds significant. Let's unpack that a bit. You mentioned a trust region and KL divergence. Could you elaborate on what that entails and how it differs from other methods? What does it mean for monotonic improvement?
Certainly, Alex. The idea of a trust region is very intuitive. It means we limit the change we make to our policy at each update to a certain radius. The KL divergence, or Kullback-Leibler divergence, is a measure of how different two probability distributions are. In our case, it measures the difference between the probability of taking an action given a state between two different policies. The trust region constraint ensures that the new policy's action probabilities are not too different from the old policies, preventing large, potentially detrimental updates. This is different from methods that use a fixed penalty, where we might penalize big changes using a coefficient. The coefficient is something we have to tune, and if it's too small, we take tiny steps, and if it's too large, our updates can be unstable. With TRPO's KL divergence constraint, we have a more robust mechanism to choose step size. This approach is a key part of what gives TRPO its guaranteed monotonic improvement. Essentially, we ensure that each update is going to bring us closer to our optimum, or at the very least, not move us further away.
So instead of tuning a penalty coefficient, you're tuning the size of a region of trust around the current policy. How is this trust region defined in a concrete sense?
Exactly. The trust region is defined as all the new policies, denoted pi new, whose average KL divergence from the current policy pi old over all states we might encounter is less than a value we call delta thaba. We set a maximum acceptable level of divergence to constrain how much the policy changes in each iteration.
That's a clear explanation. And how is this KL divergence calculated practically?
Ah, that's where things get a little technical. Calculating this KL divergence over every possible state is computationally infeasible. Therefore, TRPO makes use of what we call a surrogate objective function and a sampling-based method to estimate KL divergence. The surrogate objective function is actually a local approximation of the true policy performance. We calculate the policy performance using the state visitation frequencies of our current policy. This contrasts with the true performance, which would depend on the state visitation frequencies of the new policy. This surrogate objective matches the true objective and its gradient at the current policy. So practically speaking, instead of directly computing this average KL divergence, we approximate it using Monte Carlo simulation with sampled trajectories from the environment.
So you're not directly computing KL divergence, you're estimating it using samples. Let's go into those sample-based estimation procedures, specifically the single path and Vine methods. How do they differ, and what are the implications?
Right. So TRPO uses two sampling schemes to approximate the surrogate objective and the KL divergence constraint. The single path method generates trajectories by simulating the current policy. We then estimate the Q values using the discounted sum of future rewards for each state action pair within that single trajectory. This single path approach is quite similar to what's used in traditional policy gradient methods. The Vine method, on the other hand, takes a different approach. We first sample a collection of states, referred to as the rollout set. For each of these states, we sample a number of different actions, and for each action, we then perform a new short trajectory and estimate the Q value. We use a technique called common random numbers to reduce the variance of the Q value estimates across all the trajectories we initiate from the same state. Effectively, both methods result in the generation of a bunch of state action pairs and Q values, but the mechanism by which these are obtained is different. The single path method follows a single path, while the Vine method involves multiple paths branching out like vines, hence its name. The single path method is much simpler and can be implemented on a real physical system as it doesn't require a reset. While the Vine method usually results in a lower variance estimate, it requires the system to be reset to specific states, so it is generally only applicable in a simulated environment.
Professor Spectrum, this sounds like a crucial practical consideration. What does this choice of single path or Vine sampling tell us about the broader applicability of TRPO? Yes, the choice of sampling scheme is critical. The single path method makes TRPO applicable to a much wider range of real-world scenarios where we don't have the luxury of resetting the environment. Think about training a robot that interacts with its surroundings. We can't just reset the world to a specific state. However, in simulation, we often do have this ability to reset, and in these settings, we can take advantage of Vine's reduced variance. So, the fact that TRPO offers both options makes it a really flexible tool.
Okay, so we've covered the sampling methods. Now let's zoom in on the optimization itself. How is this constrained optimization problem solved in practice?
Right, so the core of TRPO is solving this constrained optimization problem, maximizing the surrogate objective subject to the KL divergence constraint. We don't solve this optimization problem directly. Instead, we compute the gradient of our surrogate objective. Then we construct the Fisher Information Matrix, FIM, which provides a second-order approximation of the KL divergence constraint. Crucially, we compute this matrix analytically rather than from an empirical estimate. This analytical FIM is more efficient and robust. We then use the conjugate gradient algorithm to solve for a search direction that considers both the gradient and our KL divergence constraint. Finally, we perform a line search, starting from a maximum step size based on the KL constraint that reduces the step size until we observe that both the surrogate objective improves and the KL constraint is met. This line search step is a crucial part of the algorithm. It ensures that we take a step that both maximizes improvement and also does not step outside of the trust region defined by the KL constraint.
The analytical Fisher information matrix seems like an important detail. Can you elaborate on how that's computed?
Yes, the analytical FIM is a clever trick for making TRPO more efficient and robust. Instead of directly estimating the FIM using the covariance of the gradients, we analytically compute the Hessian of the KL divergence. So instead of computing the gradient of a loss and then taking the covariance of those gradients across samples, we analytically compute the second derivative of the KL divergence, which integrates over all possible actions, which is more efficient and robust. This approach allows us to avoid the computational burden of calculating a dense Hessian and storing a large number of policy gradients. Instead, we just need to compute a matrix vector product, which is much more computationally efficient and memory friendly. The result is that we can use a relatively small batch of sample data to compute this matrix and then get a robust estimate of the FIM.
That's a great explanation, Paige. So let's move on to the experiments. Can you describe the setup and what were the main results?
Of course. We designed our experiments to investigate three main questions. First, we wanted to compare the single path and vine sampling procedures. Second, we wanted to compare TRPO to previous methods, notably natural policy gradient, to highlight the impact of the KL divergence constraint. And third, we wanted to test the scalability of TRPO on complex tasks. We had two primary experimental domains, robotic locomotion tasks and Atari game playing. For robotic locomotion, we used the Mujoco simulator to model three different 2D robotic systems. These were a swimmer with 10-dimensional state space and 2D control, a hopper with a 12-dimensional state space and 3D control, and a walker with a 20-dimensional state space and 6D control. We trained each of these models using both single path and Vine TRPO, and also compared the results to several other approaches, including natural gradient, a few gradient-free methods, CEM and CMA, and a variant of TRPO that used an empirical FIM instead of an analytic one. For Atari, we used seven different games from the arcade learning environment using raw pixel inputs to the policy networks. This allowed us to test the algorithms on complex, high-dimensional tasks. Our results showed that both single path and Vine TRPO solved all of the locomotion tasks and achieved competitive results on the Atari games, often outperforming other methods such as natural gradient and gradient-free optimization methods. We showed specifically that in the robotic locomotion tasks, the single path and Vine TRPO consistently achieved better performance compared to methods like natural gradient that rely on a fixed penalty. We also showed empirically that using the average KL constraint was approximately as effective as a max KL constraint, despite being easier to compute.
Professor Spectrum, what's the significance of achieving robust control in these diverse domains? Well, the fact that a single algorithm with relatively simple rewards and a general-purpose neural network can learn complex skills like swimming, hopping, and walking, as well as playing different Atari games, highlights the generality and the potential impact of TRPO. It demonstrates that it is possible to build artificial intelligence that can adapt to diverse tasks without relying on specialized architectures. And this flexibility is something that was hard to find with earlier reinforcement learning algorithms.
Right. Let's dig into the specifics of the results. You mentioned that TRPO outperformed natural policy gradient in robotics tasks. What were the specific metrics where this difference was most apparent?
Indeed, in the robotic locomotion tasks, the key metric was the total reward accumulated over each episode. The reward was specifically designed to encourage forward progress and penalize control effort and impacts of feet in the walker. The results clearly show that both SinglePath and Vine TRPO were able to consistently solve all of these problems and did so significantly faster than Natural Gradient and the other methods. For example, with the hopper, Natural Gradient was unable to generate hopping and walking gates that made forward progress, and instead would converge to the trivial solution of standing in place, which had a score around -1. Both TRPO algorithms achieved scores above 1 on the hopper and scores above 3 on the walker, demonstrating significantly better policy optimization. This illustrates the benefit of the robust step size control offered by the KL divergence constraint as opposed to the fixed penalty coefficient that's used in natural policy gradient. Methods like CEM and CMA also failed to show robust learning on these larger scale problems, which demonstrates how they don't scale well with the number of parameters. We also showed empirically that using the analytic FIM in TRPO had similar performance, but reduced the computational burden compared to a variant that used empirical FIM, demonstrating the efficiency of this approach.
And what about the Atari games? How did TRPO fare there, and how did it compare with prior methods?
In Atari, we used the average game score as our primary metric. The performance did vary across the games, but overall TRPO demonstrated competitive results. For some games like Enduro and Qbert, our method actually outperformed the previous state of the art, which had used a combination of Monte Carlo tree search and supervised learning, while underperforming on other games. However, it's worth noting that the methods used in the previous state of the art were specifically designed for the Atari domain. In contrast, TRPO was designed as a general-purpose policy search algorithm that can be applied to a variety of tasks and was not designed specifically for image-based Atari game playing. Thus, what our Atari results demonstrate is the wide applicability of TRPO and show it can perform well on complex, high-dimensional tasks using raw pixel input without having to be adapted to any specific domain. We did see some differences between the single path and Vine variants, with Vine generally having higher performance, but more variability, indicating that it could sometimes be more sensitive to parameter settings and initializations. Both performed well overall.
That's a good point about the generality of TRPO, not having to be designed for a specific domain. Now let's talk about limitations. What are the drawbacks of TRPO, and what avenues for improvement do they suggest?
Well, there are a few key limitations. First, the Vine method requires the ability to reset the environment to specific states, which limits its applicability in real-world settings where such resets are not feasible. Second, TRPO, especially when using the Vine method, can be computationally expensive due to the large number of environment interactions it requires. Third, while TRPO demonstrated good performance in Atari, it didn't reach state-of-the-art on all the games, which suggests that there is room for improvement. Finally, it's still quite sample inefficient compared to model-based reinforcement learning methods. This is particularly relevant in situations where getting samples from the environment is expensive, as in real-world applications. These limitations highlight the areas that future work could focus on, such as exploring more efficient sampling strategies and combining TRPO with model learning methods. Professor Spectrum, from your perspective, what do you see as the most important avenues for future research inspired by this paper? I think the most exciting directions for research are building upon the foundation of TRPO to improve sample efficiency, particularly for real-world scenarios. This could mean incorporating model learning or combining TRPO with more advanced exploration techniques. We could also see this line of work being extended to more complex policy parameterizations, perhaps incorporating recurrent networks and to partially observed settings. Another exciting direction is trying to combine these ideas with techniques from the computer vision community, as we saw in the experiments with raw pixel inputs, so that RL agents can learn directly from vision. The fact that we've shown it works so well with pixel inputs makes this very exciting. The ability to learn directly from raw sensory data would be transformative for the field.
Absolutely. So let's zoom out again and look at the broader impact of this paper. What are some of the potential applications?
TRPO has significant potential in several key areas. For example, the ability to learn complex locomotion control makes it highly relevant for robotics. Think about autonomous driving systems, robotic automation, even personalized medicine, where an RL agent could optimize treatment plans. The generality of the method also suggests that it can be applied to diverse areas, including financial trading, resource management, game development, or even scientific domains like drug discovery, where TRPO can be used to more efficiently navigate search spaces. The fact that these methods work with neural networks and are readily adaptable is significant for the field in general. And how does TRPO fit into the bigger picture of AI research, Professor Spectrum? TRPO is a crucial piece of the puzzle. It is a key building block towards more general purpose AI agents that can learn from their interactions with the environment, much like humans and animals learn. This has implications in our understanding of cognition and has spurred interest in fields such as psychology. TRPO provides a practical and scalable method for training the kinds of complex AI systems we will need to tackle more difficult challenges in the future. It is a huge step away from specialized algorithms trained on specific problems, and instead opens the door for more general intelligence that can learn diverse tasks and apply that knowledge across settings.
This has been an incredibly insightful discussion. Before we wrap up, could you summarize the main insights of this paper for our listeners?
Certainly. To recap, the Trust Region Policy Optimization paper introduced a theoretically sound and practically effective algorithm for policy optimization in reinforcement learning. TRPO is an iterative method that uses a combination of a surrogate objective, a KL divergence constraint, and sampling to provide monotonic policy improvements, meaning it guarantees the agent will learn in the right direction. The main innovation of TRPO lies in the usage of a trust region constrained by KL divergence, as opposed to a fixed penalty coefficient, which makes the algorithm more robust and reliable. The paper also introduces two practical and flexible sampling methods, single path and Vine, which allow TRPO to be used in various real-world or simulated settings. The paper showed TRPO can learn complex behaviors in diverse settings, such as simulated robotic locomotion and playing Atari games, and also demonstrated the importance of an analytical Fisher information matrix. This paper unified policy gradient and policy iteration under the trust region perspective and set a new direction for how we build general purpose AI agents.
And that's a perfect summary. Thank you both, Dr. Turner and Professor Spectrum, for this exceptionally detailed breakdown of TRPO. It's been a real eye-opener. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on Bite-Sized Breakthroughs. Until next time.